This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 206.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to find more clients fast. But before we get to the main part of the show, just a reminder about my 2018 media diary. So this is my A4 desk diary that's packed full of awareness days and key dates that you can use to plan out your content for the coming year. So for your blog or vlog, if you have one, for your email marketing, for your social media updates, and also for pitching, for ideas that you can pitch in to newspapers, magazines, and radio and TV. This year, we're also adding something extra. So what you told us last year about the media diary was that you loved it, that it looked beautiful, that you loved having access to all those key dates and awareness days. But what you also wanted help with, or certainly what some of you wanted help with, was actually getting the content created. So you wanted some support, some accountability to make sure you actually got things done. So this year we've launched the Media Diary Owners Club. So this is for you if you'd like some support with actually getting those awareness days and key dates, planning out your content and making sure it actually happens. So if you join the Media Diary Owners Club, not only will you get your A4 desk diary, you'll also get a digital version. So if you want to print off pages or parts of it, then you can do. You'll also get some online lessons that will show you how to make the most of your diary. So on content creation, on content repurposing, and also how to promote your content more effectively. You'll also get some coaching calls with me, some group coaching calls, quarterly calls where you can jump on and you can ask me any questions that you've got about your content and get support with that. And you'll also have a dedicated Facebook group where you can hang out with others who are really committed to creating great content in 2018. So if that sounds of interest, then I'll put a link to the media diary in the show notes. And if you're listening to this around the time this episode goes out, so that's the end of October 2017, if you're listening in the future, then you may also get the opportunity to choose the cover for your media diary. So as I'm recording this, I think we can probably squeeze in a few more orders for people who want to choose the cover. We've got a choice for the 2018 media diary, and they're all absolutely beautiful. You'll also get to order your diary or join the owners club at a special pre-order price. So don't hang about. We're just offering that for the first 10 days. And in the case of choosing your cover, basically when we've got up to our quota that we've agreed with our printer. So don't hang about. If it does sound of interest, then if you don't act now, you may miss out on getting your special price or choosing your cover. So now, on with the main part of the show. In this episode, I'm going to be sharing tips on how you can find new customers and clients right now. And if you're listening to this and thinking, this is exactly what I need at the moment, I want you to promise me something right now. And that's that you're going to stop focusing on attracting new customers, at least for the moment. And if you're listening to this in the gym or in the car or while you're walking the dog or while you're running or whatever, you might need to wait to do this until later. But if you're somewhere where you can grab a piece of paper or a pen or your tablet or your laptop, whatever you use to make notes, then I'd like you to start by making a list right now. And the list I want you to make is of your current clients or customers and your previous ones. Now, depending on what kind of business you have and what kind of products or services you sell, this list might look a little bit different, but I'll just explain what it is that I'm trying to get you to do here. What I want you to do is to focus on the people who are currently buying your products and services or have done in the past, not the people you'd like to buy them, but the people who are currently spending money with you or have done very recently, because they are the people who are most likely to spend money with you again. So this is really important. So I'm just going to repeat that. So the people who are currently spending money with you or have done recently or sometimes actually a long time in the past, they're the people who are the most likely to buy from you again. So they are really the people, if you need to make some money, bring some money into your business right now, they are the people that you need to be focusing on. And that's what I'm going to be focusing on in this episode. Now, there's another episode that you might want to have a listen to because it really links to this one quite nicely. It's episode 182, and it's called Why You Should Ditch Your Ideal Customer Avatar. And in it, I talk about how I work with so many business owners who are really struggling to bring enough money into their business because they're trying to market to customers that they don't already have. So they're trying to attract people, they're trying to attract customers. When I say to them, well, how many people have you sold your products to like that already? Or how many people are you currently working with like that? They often say, well, none, but that's who I'd like to sell to, or that's who I'd like to work with in the future. What really counts is the people that are buying from you right now or have done in the past. So I'll say it again, because they are the people that are most likely to buy from you in the future. If you're putting all of your energy and efforts into trying to attract an ideal customer, so somebody who shops in Waitrose, drives a certain type of car, has a certain type of income, but you haven't actually sold to any of those people yet, you really are going to struggle. Now, it's not to say that you couldn't work on attracting those kind of people in the future, but if your focus, and I think this is true for many of us, is you need to bring money into your business right now, then you need to be focusing on the people who are already spending money with you or have done pretty recently. Now, if your business is really new and you don't have any customers, don't worry, I have got some advice for you as well. So listen in, and I've got something quite specific to say to you as well. So what I want you to do is to make this list of people who are spending money with you right now or have done recently. And then I want you to go through the following steps. So there's three steps that I want you to look at, or three areas that I want you to look at where you might be able to get them to spend more money with you, basically, and bring more money into your business quickly. So first off, your current or previous customers, you may well be able to sell them exactly the same thing again. So just to give you an example, so one of my highest ticket products or services, if you like, is media training. So I do radio and TV training. I work a lot with universities, colleges, schools, charities, and it's not something that I do every day. I probably do half a dozen to a dozen a year, but it's probably my highest ticket item that I sell, if you like. And radio and TV training is not something that people book every day. So a university or a charity, they might book this in once a year, twice a year. I have been booked in sometimes to do a series because they've got a lot of people that they want to train. But generally, it's not something that people would kind of, you know, do every month or even sometimes every year. So a really simple thing that I do is every 6 months or so, or sometimes more frequently, I just drop an email to somebody that I've done media training with, or I make a list of all the people I've done media training with in the last year or so. Just drop them a quick email saying, how are you getting on? Have any of the people we've trained been on radio or TV? Sometimes we might have seen them or heard them, so I can make a comment about that and say it was really nice to hear them on Radio 4 or whatever. And then I can say, are you looking for a refresher? Or is there anybody else in your company or organization who needs media training, because we're looking to book up some sessions over the next few months? Now, often I'll get an email back which says, actually, we're fine at the moment, or we don't have a budget. But out of sight is out of mind. That reminder email, what happens so often is a few weeks later, or a few months later, I'll get an email from the person and they're saying, oh, actually, we have got a budget now, or actually, we are in the position to book some training. So just a simple email, and I would recommend a personal email if it's coaching or some kind of training like that. A personal email rather than a kind of MailChimp round robin type thing can just work wonders. And basically, you're just offering exactly the same thing. It's good to offer an incentive. So if you can go back and say, look, the prices have gone up since you last did it, but happy to give it to you at last year's price or something like that, an incentive is always good. And do bear in mind that you can do this with products too. So let's say, for example, that you sell skincare products. Just because somebody has bought from you once doesn't mean they won't buy from you again. In fact, if they like your products, they're probably more likely to buy from you again. So it may well be, you know, have a think about how long your products last. So if you sell face cream, for example, well, typically, how long would it take somebody if they were using it every day to run out of it? You know, if it's bubble bath or hand wash, it might actually be more frequent. So there's no reason why you can't email and say, how are you getting on with whatever it is? Are you ready to order your next batch? And if so, here's a 20% voucher or something like that. So you should be keeping in touch with your previous customers and seeing when they're ready for their next batch, and almost assuming that, you know, they're going to love your products and they're going to be ready for your next batch. Another thing that you might want to encourage them to do is to buy for their friends or family, and this can be seasonal. So around Christmas or New Year or birthdays or whatever, however you've got your marketing set up in your business, Valentine's Day, Easter, whatever, there will be key points in the year when people who love your products might also want to buy your products that they love so much for their friends and family. Or it could even be a service. It could be coaching. It could be personal training, it could be Pilates classes, whatever it is that you offer. If people already love you and love what you do, then there's a good chance they might want to buy what you offer for someone else that they care about in their life. So do start off by just looking for repeat business. So just have a think, are there any ways that I could literally just go back to previous clients and say, do you want to buy again? And you will be amazed. It's such a simple thing to do. The second thing to look at is referrals. So after your current customers, the people who are currently paying you money or have done recently, the next group that's most likely to spend money with you are the friends, family, and colleagues of that group. So we all know that when we want to buy something, referrals are really powerful. So if we want to go on holiday, we ask for recommendations for hotels. If we're buying a new car, we ask our friends, what do they think? If we're buying a new coat, then we might ask, you bought your coat from Warehouse last year. What did you think of it? Did it last? Whatever. We all love referrals. So if you can encourage your current customers, previous customers, to refer to their friends and give them an incentive to do so, then you will do really, really well out of that. So just to give you an example, so my Soulful PR Studio, which is my membership community, we currently offer an incentive to our members to refer their friends and colleagues. And that incentive is a 30-minute consultation with me, one-to-one via Skype. When people join at the moment, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to offer this in the future, but at the moment they get an introductory 30-minute one-to-one with me. So often once people have been in the studio for a while, 3-6 months, they're making progress, but actually it's just really nice to kind of check in with me and have another session. And people really, really value that. It doesn't have to be something like that. If you've got products, it could be discounts off your products and services, but offering an incentive to refer can be really, really good. Another thing that we do with our live events is we have a kind of commission scheme. So if people refer a friend to one of our live events, then they can earn back commission on their ticket price. And, you know, if they refer enough people, they could feasibly actually not end up paying for their ticket at all. So, you know, there's lots of ways that you can do this, but just think about referrals. How can you encourage referrals? Sometimes it can be as simple as saying, look, sending an email, and often a personal email can work really well. I know you really love our products and services. Is there anyone that you'd like to recommend? If you've been good to your customers and they love you and they love what you do, you'll be amazed actually how willing people will be often to refer you. So the last area that I want you to look at is new products or services. So can you look at your list of the people who are currently spending money with you or have done in the past and think of any products or services that they might like to buy from you, something that you're not already offering them? So this is could be an upsell, so it could be something that's more expensive, or it could be a downsell. It could be something that's less expensive, but you know that they need. So just to give you an example, my studio members, so the members of my Soulful PR community, so they're already paying an annual fee or a monthly fee to be a member of my community, but they also buy tickets to my live events. And when we looked at the figures for my big live event in the summer, Soulful PR Live, 33 of the 80 tickets sold were sold to people who were currently in my Soulful PR studio. So they were currently paying for their membership or had already paid for their membership, but they also bought a ticket. So they'd already paid, in some cases, £300 or £400 to be a member of the studio and had paid that, or even actually in some cases, up to £600 to come as a VIP. So that's really powerful, that figure. The assumption often is that if somebody has bought from you, that they've spent all the money that they're ever going to spend from you. And often you couldn't be more wrong in thinking that the people who already love you, like your work, like your products, they are the ones that will often come back and spend more with you. And I think those figures show that. Another interesting thing as well is that we have sold since that event in the summer, we've sold 15 memberships from people who attended that event and weren't members at the time. 15 of those people have now come into the membership community. So they came to the event, they liked the event, they'd already spent in some cases up to £600 to come to the event, but then they spent another £300 to come and be part of the membership. So the idea that lots of us have that if somebody's already bought from us, that they're not going to want to buy again, often it could not be more wrong. So just to give you a few ideas of products or services that you could offer. So let's say, for example, you're a nutritionist and you've already worked with somebody maybe one-to-one offering them nutrition sessions, and maybe they came to you for help with a specific problem or challenge and you've managed to solve that together. What else could you offer them? You could offer them meal plans, you could offer them recipes, you could offer them some kind of analysis, mineral analysis or hormone analysis or something like that. There's no end. Just have a think about what else can you offer? What other expertise have you got? Could you link up with another practitioner to offer them something else? So let's say, for example, you're an artist and you sell paintings. Well, is there something that you could offer to people who already love your paintings, but they want more? So one artist that I'm working with in my membership at the moment, I saw a really interesting Facebook page conversation on her Facebook page, where she was asking people who'd already bought her paintings or wanted to buy her paintings what else they might buy. And some of those people were saying they'd be interested in buying a limited edition set of mugs with her designs on them. And you know, that wasn't something that I think she thought about before, but getting that conversation going, also a nice piece of social media content as well. I'm not sure where she's going to go with it, but I thought that was really interesting, because some of the people who were saying that they would like to buy those were people who already had her paintings already. Some of them were people who'd like to have her paintings but didn't have the budget, but were saying, actually, you know, that would be a kind of nice compromise for me at the moment until I've got the budget for you. So it can actually work on quite a lot of levels. Another example might be if you're a fitness instructor. So you might do personal training, or you might do yoga classes or something like that. So if you do one-off yoga classes, then maybe you could create some kind of one-day retreat, or maybe you could create a retreat abroad or something like that. Maybe you could create online classes. Again, it's just thinking about, what else might these people be interested in, and how else could I solve their problems? And even I was thinking about this earlier, my daughter does Irish dancing, and her teachers do it, I mean, not as a kind of part-time thing, but they're certainly not in it to make big bucks. But they're running during half term. My daughter's going along to a session where somebody from Lord of the Dance, the big Irish dance musical, somebody who's one of the lead dancers, is doing a special workshop in the half-term holiday. So just something like that, you know, something else that you think, oh, the people who are already doing business with me, they'd really love to do this. They'd really love to learn about that, or they'd really love to get their hands on this kind of product. So once you get thinking, I'm sure you'll start to think of some great ideas. Another example then, if you make jewellery, it could just be as simple as coming up with a new range. So let's say that you sell earrings, or maybe you come up with a matching necklace or something like that. People who are interested in buying jewellery are sometimes interested in making jewellery. People might be interested in having jewellery styling sessions, so learning how to wear jewellery with different outfits or something like that. Again, just get creative. And the key thing is, of course, is to ask your customers, so what problems have they got that you could help them solve? One last example, let's say, for example, you make soaps and you've got a really great line of organic soaps. People love your soaps. Well, you could bring on a new line. You could bring on lip balm or bubble bath or something like that. And if you can make it limited edition or something like that, you know, create some scarcity, that could be brilliant. So I really want to encourage you to get creative. And in order to get creative, I think it's so important to actually talk to your current and previous customers and ask them. So what are they struggling with? What did they like about your products or services that you've sold to them already? What else could you help them with? Just even just sending out an email to your list, and this is really why it's important to have an email list and be building one up. But, you know, if you don't have a big email list at the moment, well, where else could you talk to your customers? Could you talk to them on your Facebook page? Could you talk to them in your Facebook group? But just having that conversation, what do you like about what you've bought off me already? How else could I help you? And they will tell you what they need. I absolutely promise it. And just to give you another example, so I have a membership community, the Soulful PR Studio, and I'm thinking about some of my members have now been with me for a couple of years, and I'm conscious of the fact that some of them might start to outgrow the studio. They might start to outgrow the membership and they might need something else. So I'm thinking about, well, could I offer a higher level coaching? So could I offer some kind of smaller group for people who are a little bit more advanced? They'd still be a member, they still pay their membership fee, but I would offer them maybe a better price because they're already in the community, if you like. And another example, I mean, I'll be able to share the figures with you in a few months' time, but obviously people who are already in my Soulful PR studio, lots of them will buy my 2018 media diary. Lots of the people who come along to Your Year in PR, which is my media planning masterclass that I'm running in November, that's 2017 if you're listening in the future, lots of them will buy the diary. In fact, we've had an option for people who are coming along to have the diary included in their ticket price as well. So it's just constantly thinking about, like, how can I, these people who already like me, they already love my stuff, they already like my coaching package or whatever it is that you offer, how could I give them more, and how could I encourage them to bring the people that they love and the people that they've got things in common with into my circle? That's really what you're trying to do. And the last thing I want to say, and this is really relevant if you have a new business and you don't have any customers, so listen in, this is really, really important. Don't be afraid to sell to your friends and family. So this is something, again, that I see time and time again. I talk to business owners who are out there trying to market to people that are not yet in their circle. So they're people that they don't yet know. They're these kind of ideal customers who shop in a certain shop, who drive a certain car, who buy their stationery from a certain shop or whatever it might be. And they're completely missing the people who are already around them, who might love to buy what it is that they have to offer. And just to give you an example, so Jen Gale, who's a coach, who's in my Soulful PR studio, she was running a really fab 30-day challenge recently. And she hadn't asked the people in our membership whether they'd be interested in joining, partly because I think sometimes when people are in a membership, they're kind of a bit worried about being seen to sell, and more on that in a second. But also because she just thought, oh, I'm not sure that they would be interested. When she mentioned it, and I mentioned it to everybody, she got quite a few people who signed up from the group. So I think it can be tempting to assume that the people who are around us, our family and friends, they're not interested in what we've got to offer. But often they already know us, they already like us. They're the people who are most likely to like what we've got to offer and want to help us and want to refer friends and family and that kind of thing. So if you're starting out, don't be afraid to sell to your family and friends. In fact, they will probably be your very first customers. They will probably be the people who bring in your referrals. And don't be ashamed of that. That's how we all start. We all start by selling to the people that we know. And just to share another example with you. So my husband is a freelance designer, and he's been doing that now, I think, for about 5 years. But when he first left his job, it was all a little bit sudden. So he was working on a music magazine, and he moved to a new job, and it quickly became apparent that he didn't like this job one bit, and it just was a really, really bad move. And I encouraged him to leave his job. I said, look, life's too short. If you really hate this move that you've made, why don't you set up on your own? So he said, but I don't know how to find any clients. You know, how on earth am I going to get enough work? I just said to him, look, let's just make a list of all the people that you've ever worked with, so all the magazines that you've worked on, all the freelance jobs that you've done, because he had done a little bit of freelance design on the side. Let's just make a list of everybody that you know and all the jobs that you've had. And he'd only had about 3 jobs, I think, since he'd left university anyway. And then he just sent an email to all of those people just saying, hey, I moved to a new job. It hasn't really worked out for me. He was really quite honest, but it hasn't really worked out for me. I realized that it wasn't the right move for me. So I've decided to go out on my own as freelance. These are the kind of things that I can help you with. If you have anything for me or you know anyone, then just let me know. By the end of the week, he had a number of contracts, and within a year, he was pretty much, in fact, you know, he earns more money now than he did when he was working on staff. And actually, I was chatting to Lucy. So hello, Lucy, if you're listening. So Lucy edits the show notes, or she writes the show notes for the podcast. And she had a similar thing where she had a staff job. She was working somewhere and she wanted to leave. And she actually got in touch with me. She sent me a message and said, oh, I'm going it alone. These are the kind of things I'm going to be offering. If you've got anything, then just, you know, just let me know. And I rang her straight back and said, well, actually, I'm looking for somebody to do my podcast show notes. And Lucy's a writer by trade. It was that perfect timing. But often we're too afraid to do those sorts of things. It's a really, really simple thing. Just making a list of people you know. So even if your business is new, even if you have no customers at all, just make a list of all the people that you've ever worked with. And sometimes you can get clients or you can get leads from the most surprising places. Like, you know, tell your hairdresser, you know, tell your the lady who does my ironing for me actually came from somebody at my running club who is a teacher. She's a head teacher. And I mentioned I was looking for somebody to do my ironing. She said, oh, actually, one of the parents at my school. So often the referrals can come from some of the most surprising places. But if you're not out there actively saying to people, look, this is who I am, this is what I offer, this is what I sell, or these are the services that I offer, then you're not going to get to hear about these things. So I hope you found that useful. And I'd love to hear how you get on with being brave and getting out there and not being afraid to sell to your friends and family, not being afraid to go back to the people that you're currently working with or have done in the past and offer them the same thing again or something new, or ask for a referral. If you make that habit in your business, it's certainly something that I've made a habit in my business, then you will find that the money starts to flow in much more easily. You really, really will. A couple of podcast episodes that you might want to listen to, which might also be helpful to you. So episode 184, how to test your business ideas. So when I was talking before about asking your audience, so I would never recommend spending any money or getting any fancy websites or leaflets or flyers. You know, email is free. So if you're looking for leads, if you're looking for recommendations, then a simple email is absolutely fine. And that episode really kind of focuses in on that. Episode 202, behind the scenes of my membership community, I talk a lot about referrals and how I sell to my existing customers. There's lots of examples in that one. And also episode 142, stop marketing to everybody. You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook community? I've recently opened a Facebook group that's exclusively for podcast listeners, and you can find it at the Soulful PR Podcast Community. That's the Soulful PR Podcast Community, and I'd love to see you over there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.